Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money.
Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open 90%. Southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics. We same format with the podcast as we do with our radio shows for over two decades. And we have a ton of fun with the show. We do manage money for a living. You can always go to our website for all the information, thefinancialguys.com. And, you know, all of our other stuff, whether it's liking us on Facebook or following us on Twitter, thefinancialguys.com. Glenn, another week, by the way, the markets, this is Tuesday morning, markets seem to be opening up positive. Just a ton of strength, you know, and I've been telling you, I said, there was every single analyst in the world has been telling me that we have to retest the bottom. Every single smart person I know, I mean, from billionaires to money managers. And I've said to you multiple times, I said, the only reason I don't think we're going to test the bottom is because they all think we're going to.
That would certainly be the exception. I mean, if you look back, I think Paul Meeks, our investment committee, you know, chartered financial analyst, said it best. You know, there's been nine major corrections like this in the last, say, 40, 50 years. And every single one of them retested the low. Everyone.
Yep. Yep.
So it doesn't mean it tests the low in April or a month later. Let's go back to 2008. 2008, we had the first sign that something was wrong early on in February when the market dropped like 400 or 500 points in one day. The market started to get on shaky footing. A little bit later in March of that year, just about a month later, all of a sudden Bear Stearns is poof, out of business, right? Yeah. Oh my God, now we got a liquidity crisis. That started to escalate as we went throughout the summer with Lehman Brothers going under and all of a sudden this housing crisis really starting to metastasize. We get into the fall, and we had that one week of September where I remember thinking very specifically, well, this must be the capitulation at this point, because we lost about 4% every day for five straight days. We had a 20% really bloodbath in that week. And I remember we started coming back off of those bottoms and we rebounded in November and December. I remember thinking, okay, it seems like that should hold. And, you know, I think we're in pretty good shape there, but we weren't. And, you know, three, four months later in January, February, the market rolled over again, only to not only test the lows, but to actually make a new low that really shook those last final people out of the market. And if you recall, we got all the way down to, I believe, 6,600 on the top. So at that point, from top to bottom, a full 55% decline. Now, I'm not saying that's what we could expect here. I think there's a lot of different things at play here. That was a much different environment. However, I think that if we don't, And I do believe that we are starting to talk about it this week. And I think that's what the markets are starting to pre-anticipate. And that's opening up the economy.
The focus is switching.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. I mean, the next 2 weeks, look at what Sweden did. I'm going to put a link below if you're watching YouTube. If not, to go to our Twitter feed and I'll put the link there. I watched Australian 60 Minutes, which I've actually taken a liking to.
Tucker, by the way, was talking about Sweden last night and he nailed it as well. Yeah.
Well, so here's what Sweden did. Sweden did exactly what you and I recommended 3 weeks ago. And that is to quarantine the people that are older, that are at risk, that have the health issues, keep them at home. But the rest of us, you know, can probably, if we put the proper safeguards in place, go about our business. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to close down the flower shop that might, at its peak, be two customers at a time in the store, but yet let everybody and allow everyone to go to Sam's Club or Costco, right? Everybody's piling in the Tops, Wegmans, and Publix supermarkets, right, and Walmart, but roofers can't get on a roof and complete some of the work, and construction guys who are all getting together on a weekend can't go to work. So I think, you know, there are certain pockets that we should be talking about, not discussing, but actually doing. And this is what drives me nuts about these politicians, is that now we're going to create commissions. And Governor Cuomo created a three-state panel, I think, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York.
Even locally, we're creating commissions. They never have the right people on the commissions, right? It's always their buddies. It's always, you pointed out, Erie County's got a business task force, but it's all, you know, folks that are already still in business, right? It's not people who are had to shut down and walk away from their business. There was a professor out of Germany, a doctor out of Germany, actually. Tucker was talking about him last night, Henry Streaks. And he was talking about the fact that it's almost impossible to catch this in a grocery store, right? So the way you're going to catch it is by being confined in small areas with multiple people for long periods of time. That sounds a lot like quarantine to me.
I can make the argument, though, that if you're in a grocery store for an hour, that's a pretty confined space for a long period of time, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen equal models that say, here's a sneeze zone when somebody sneezes in a store. I just think, you know, if you avoid those types of places and you minimize, you know, the food delivery, the taking it out to the curbside pickup, you know, these are all things that I think our economy is adapting to. Okay. But we're doing unneeded damage or unnecessary damage by closing industries that are really, I think for the most part would be safe to go ahead and reopen. So getting back, so Sweden had the right answer, right? So Sweden didn't close down their schools. School kids are still going to school. People are still working. They, you know, yes, they're practicing social distancing, but it's at a recommendation, not an executive order. Which, by the way, for all, and I love our police force. I love our police officers all over this country do a wonderful job. But for you handful of folks that are just, for whatever reason, just think it's your duty to impose these stupid. We had somebody the other day pull up in a driveway, you know, in Florida. There's a group of folks down the street, and a neighbor rode by on a bike and yelled something at him, like, how dare you get together on the porch? They're all sitting around the driveway, you know, just doing a conversation, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Good neighbors. And they were all, you know, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 feet apart. They weren't hugging each other or whatever. But the lady called the cops, and the cops showed up and said, hey, you got to disperse. I'm like, no, you don't have to disperse.
No, no, this is private property. Private property.
Number two, you have a right to assemble, okay? Yeah. So just because there's a crisis, we don't allow our executive branch to just, you know, no matter what state it is, whether Republican or Democrat. In Florida, it's a Republican governor. But those executive decrees that Cuomo and any of these governors put out, Governor Whitmer in Michigan is out of control, right?
Oh, yeah.
None of those have any weight of really of the rule of law if it violates other constitutional rights.
Well, when you look at when you look at Sweden, though, the point is that they're just going to prolong the problem by not getting together, right? You can't do this forever. The economic damage would be unrecoverable if we think that this is going to last into June, July, August, September, right? At some point, you just got to say, look, it for the betterment of everybody, we've got to start to reassemble. And, you know, I was reading an article the other day. The best thing that could happen is this is actually more contagious than we think. So it just goes through and goes moving on, right? We lost 80,000 people 2 years ago in the U.S. to the flu, and nobody blinked an eye. 80,000 people, nobody blinked an eye. And now this virus, what's different about this? It's an election season. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. I guarantee if this was Obama, this would have been treated way more like the swine flu. Maybe a little more aggressively. Like you said, we would have pinpointed certain industries. We wouldn't have shut down the entire economy. The media would have never scared the daylights out of people. They certainly didn't do it 2 years ago. We lost 80,000 people and nobody blinked an eye. If they really cared about people all the time, then our rules would be very different in this world. We would have 5 mile an hour speed limits, right? Nobody could drive more than 5 miles an hour. Why? Because we'd never have a car accident that would kill anybody, right? Why don't we do that? Well, for the betterment of everybody, right? Why don't we test every female for breast cancer? Why don't we test every male for breast cancer? We lose a lot of them every year through breast cancer, right? Why don't we have a full spread test every year? You could go on and on and on. And the mishandling of this was unbelievable. And Sweden did it the right way, right? They, like you said, they're doing it selectively. We have to have a proactive plan in place to go back to work. I do think Donald Trump was put in a very difficult position. He had no choice but to shut things down. They would have
crucified him.
Crushed him.
That economist that they interviewed in Sweden though is absolutely right. And he's like, you know, you got to weigh all those things, like you just said. Like, why don't we have 5 mile an hour speed limits? Why?
Right.
Yeah, it would save all lives, but it's not the proper balance, right? That would impact our economy and our social lives and things like that. So there's got to be that balance, right? We lost 55,000 people last year to car accidents. This is a lot like 2003 in, I think, the daily Iraq body count. You're going to see this daily body count from now until the election. and they're going to do everything they can. This is their only chance of winning. I mean, Nancy Pelosi said it best, that we have to win at all costs, no matter what we have to do. We cannot allow, and Adam Schiff also said it, the American people got it wrong last time. We can't allow them to get it wrong again.
Let me
translate this for you, folks.
They're not that smart.
Vote for the right person, meaning the Democrats. So we can't allow you to make your choice. We're going to make that choice for you by, you know, it's amazing. In California, for example, they want to do all mail-in ballots, right? I want to do it kind of across the state, right?
I bet.
California has 1.5 million more voters in certain cities than they actually have registered voters. If you want to talk about unbelievable amounts of fraud. But getting back to the 60-minute thing and the economist from Sweden, I think he really nailed it. He said, look, we're going to have, let's say, 20,000 deaths, right? We can have 20,000 deaths over 60 days, or we can have 20,000 deaths over 6 months, right? Or 12 months, right? We're going to have the same 20,000 deaths, right? It's going to be the same number of people. If we can handle and sustain the rush to our hospitals from a medical standpoint, then we're better off getting it over with and getting back and not impacting our economy and doing other damage as opposed to prolonging it. I think in the end, when we look back, nobody knows kind of right now what the right answer is going to be. But I think when you, some of the data is starting to appear. And I think when we look back at this, we're going to look at places like Sweden and say they did the right thing, while the U.S. and other places needlessly destroyed their economy and set themselves back way further than we needed to. I don't think it's permanent damage, of course. But, and again, I think if they can stop talking and stop having commissions and start doing, like today, make the announcements. Realtors, you already did this, Governor Cuomo, so you already took the step in the right direction.
Construction workers, right? To your point, Glenn, down in South Florida, they let the construction workers, great idea, actually start working on the words, right? Well, the words, the roads. They're social distancing, but they're saying, look, the roads are empty right now. This is a great time to do that. We can put them back to work. We're paying them anyways. Let's get them back to work, right? One factor that we're not putting in here, which you and I did weeks ago, when this whole thing started to get crazy, I said, one of the things they're not factoring in is the amount of people we're going to lose to anxiety, stress, and depression. Right. Yeah. If they really cared about people, they would have to factor all that in. Right. That should be factored in. We lose 45,000 people every year to suicide due to unemployment. That's when unemployment rates go from, 4% to 6% or 6% to 8%, not the 30%. Right. And I don't mean to laugh, but like that's a real deal. I mean, and people go, oh, you just want to, you don't want to save grandma. Well, I do want to save grandma, and grandma can stay at home and we can lock down the nursing homes. My grandmother's in a nursing home. Do you know how many times that's been locked down over the last 5 years since she's been in there due to the flu? Multiple times. I've gone up there a few times. Like, look, it's on lockdown. A bunch of people got the flu. No problem. I'll come back. Give it a few days. Right. Got to do that stuff. I understand it. Right. Look, you got a compromised immune system. Look, tell employers, hey, well, we're willing to do that. Look, somebody's got a compromised immune system. We'll do anything we possibly can for one of our employees. Right. You just don't shut down the economic system. Trump, by the way, Dr. Fauci, by the way, the other day, he said, well, I don't know if we'll be able to vote in person in November. What is wrong with you? Like, what is he in that position for?
You got to take these guys with a grain of salt, right? He came out yesterday, the press conference yesterday, by the way. Trump, he's unbeatable. I mean, I got to tell you.
He's not great. I love watching his press conference now. It just makes my day.
The thing is, you want to start to twist the timeline? Okay. You want to start to say, I should have acted sooner? Okay. I would have loved to have him throw in the Schumer tweet where he said, he's being anti-Semitic or xenophobic. I love the fact that he put that timeline out there. Okay, folks, here's your words on the people you interviewed, okay? Let's go back and actually look at the timeline. If that doesn't shut them up at this point going forward, I don't know what will.
It doesn't.
They're unbelievable. I mean, and then you got the CNN reporter. I mean, look, if you're a reporter, it should be an honor for you to be in the White House press pool, to be able to ask those questions and be the people that have the responsibility of asking the questions that the American people want to know. But that's not what you ask CNN.
No.
Always about the snarkiness or, the gotcha questions. And Trump just continues to shut them down. Like, here's you, CNN. You're fake news. I love the fact that he's doing that. And I love the timeline that he put together. Look, you want to talk timeline. You guys were talking about this is non-transmittable, no big deal. I was closing the travel from China to the United States. Yeah. You were making fun of me, interviewing doctors saying this is no big deal. I was starting to bring my executive team together and my doctors together to formulate a plan. You know, yep. I think Dr. Fauci did a good job yesterday in coming back out saying, wait a minute now, you asked me a hypothetical question, which I should have probably never answered. You asked me if we had done mitigation certain things earlier, would it have saved lives? Well, of course it would have,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But
Maybe. So we don't know that, right? The misconception is
it certainly would. I mean, but we didn't know that, right? Nobody knew. Look, the World Health Organization was still talking in January about how this is not transmissible from person to person. So, you know, the fact that we're still reporting on what the World Health Organization says is a joke. They came out yesterday and said, well, you know, it seems as if in South Korea there's instances, 100 and some instances of people re-getting it or re-getting it.
Yeah. Well, and to your point before, though, with Sweden is, you know, are we saving lives? I mean, you know, we may have a whole bunch of people that develop anxiety, depression. We lose those people, right? But does this thing just continue to fester itself and you never get to leave the house?
Right.
and as you said, do we lose 20,000 people right away, or do we lose 20,000 people a year from that, right? I mean, you know, that could be a possibility where we say we really didn't save any lives. Maybe it just changed the time frame of when they passed away. I will say Fox brought up a really interesting stat, and I got to find it. But out of the 6,000-something people we lost in New York State, only 100-something folks did not have pre-existing conditions. That's right. Pretty amazing, right? So most of these people were very sick before, very sympathetic to it. But the reality was most of them were going to pass away in the short term anyways from something, right? This just happened to be that thing. But out of 6,000 something people, only 100 something didn't have pre-existing conditions. That's a pretty crazy stat, right?
I will say the argument though for the, you know, slowing it down and you know, try if you would have done things earlier is that we know no more now, right? We know that the right treatment is probably not ventilators. I think they're starting to figure this out. But really, it's oxygen and that hydrochloroquine along with a Z-Pak, right? So it gives you the opportunity to figure out, you know, how to treat it without getting that major rush, you know, and having things overwhelm. Right? I think you do potentially lose people that
you don't.
You
can say that for any disease, though, Glenn. I think your point is, how about this? Had we known HIV came from sex right away and, you know, we could have said, you know, have less sex years ago, and that would that have had caused less HIV? Yes, it would have.
Well, and that was a question, right? So that was what Dr. Fauci was answering was, look, you asked me a hypothetical question as to whether or not mitigation services earlier on would have made a difference. Of course it would. But the fact of the matter is that we were getting misinformation from China, misinformation from the World Health Organization, misinformation from a lot of the doctors and the media in general. And so we were trying to assess all these things. Let's not forget that de Blasio, that Cuomo, that Pelosi, all in February – After Trump had closed the travel from China to the United States, we're all touting, saying, this is no big deal. De Blasio said, if you're under 50, come out into the parades, go out to a movie with your friends and family.
Pelosi was in Chinatown. Come down.
Chinatown, right? Certainly, that absolutely, at that time, we know that this was circulating in our country. And those statements absolutely probably got people sick and did cost lives. Yeah. I'm not blaming them. And I'm not saying they should have not said that. No, we didn't know what I'm saying.
Well, they shouldn't be political dirtbags right now, though. Now's not the time to be a political dirtbag.
How dare you go back and put it on Trump to say you knew when you were the one in Chinatown. So the Democrats are just sleazy when it comes to this stuff, right? Trump's not going back saying, you know, he would not have done that yesterday had the media and the Democrats not tried to change the timeline as somehow he was completely wrong and the Democrats were totally right when really everybody was really wrong on this whole thing. But at this point, now we know what the treatment is.
I don't think you could ever be right, though, right? I mean, you can't be perfect with this stuff. It's a virus. It's you're never going to be perfect. If you shut down the whole economy 3 months before, we cause the Great Depression. We lose all kinds, probably hundreds of thousands of people to suicide and depression, right? So that's not the right answer. There's just no right answer when it comes to this stuff. You just try to do your best. I do think, though, that they should have done it better, meaning that they should have had first of all, you got to treat areas very differently. New York City should have been treated very, very differently than Niagara County in New York, right, where I think we've lost like two people, right? And I think we've got to start to proactively unroll this thing across the country very differently, right? Should New York City be treated more aggressively than Des Moines, Iowa right now, you better believe it.
Sure,
right? You get that. But let Des Moines, Iowa start to go back to work, right? And even let parts of New York start to go back to work. If we've lost two people in Niagara County, gosh, let some of that stuff start to open itself up so we can get a positive feeling that this thing's going to be okay, or else the solution is going to be way bigger than the problem. And we were, we started off talking about the economy and the stock market, Glenn. I think to your point is, nobody knows whether we're going to retest this thing or not. But I'll tell you what, you start to let the economic damage and you start to let us not open the economy. J.P. Morgan switched their projections from a 25% pullback to a 40% pullback. And everybody's been saying, how could the stock market be going up based on the economic projections from somebody like a J.P. Morgan? Well, the stock market is going up based on the assumption that we're going to open this thing relatively soon. But if you don't, you better believe we're going to retest the bottoms again, right? I mean, that's what the stock market, at least in the short term, is pre-anticipating, that we are going to open up layers of this economy. And guess what? The numbers are going to jump when we do that a little bit. But at some point, you got to say, look, at the speed limit's 65 miles an hour, not 5 miles an hour. And we know we're going to lose some people. But at the end of the day, you got to make a decision for the betterment of everybody, including the mental health aspect of this that has to be priced in there. It's got to be part of what we're going to lose if we continue to do what we're doing.
I pinned a tweet to our Twitter page, and it's at FinGuys. If you want to go check it out, I'll leave it there for a while. And the last sentence of the article is spot on. It's a medium.com, and the title of the article is, "Let's visualize state by state the shutdown effectiveness." There are 9 states that have done no shutdown whatsoever, compared to Michigan, which basically, if you go outside, they'll shoot you, right?
Yeah.
And what they're saying so far, now they're analyzing and tracking this in real time, is what they're saying so far is that they haven't seen a big difference between the states. So now that may change, but it doesn't seem as if it made that much of a difference thus far. Now, mind you, some of these states are Arkansas, places like that. Maybe they haven't seen it yet. Maybe they'll change their tune as time goes on. We'll see what happens. But the last sentence says we should all rely a little more on data and less on fear when considering the next steps for our country. And I think they're absolutely right. When we start to talk about this reopening, I'm happy that they're starting to talk about it. I know President Trump is convening a commission. I know Cuomo just convened. California Governor Newsom decided that he's going to convene a West Coast a governor group to decide how they're going to reopen from a regional standpoint. All very positive. I think the right idea. However, I'm also hearing from these same bureaucrats that have never run a business, well, it's not just going to be like flipping on a switch. It's going to be very slow and very slow. like I said, today, actually yesterday, Monday, last week, we should have been talking about sectors we could already open. We talked about roofers, construction, road crews, right? By next week, we should be talking about all of those small businesses. You can go back to work. Here are the rules. Please, practice 6-foot social distancing. Please, every hour or two, wipe down the handles. Maybe we could get some of that glorious hand sanitizer that Cuomo prepared at
the Lilac.
He's standing in front of a giant wall in his press conference. Right? Smell this. What does it smell like to you?
We're going to have so much material when this thing is done for the next 5 years. That is one positive out of this, that we'll have so many clips that will be great.
But I'm concerned that we're going to start saying, well, we'll open up these stages over the next 6 months. No.
Yeah.
Look, for the most part, outside of, let's say, even restaurants, like we can start to open up restaurants, maybe not at full capacity. Those are absolutely packed. Maybe we can separate the tables a little bit. Maybe we can, again, I think there are things that we can do. And those are going to probably be the last places that open. But sure, for the most part, 80%, if not more, of our economy, 90%, can probably start to open right now. Should have never been shut down to begin with.
How about this, Glenn? In both near our Florida office in Jupiter, Florida, and up in Buffalo, New York, all the boat launches have been closed. So I can't for the life of me figure out why I can sit in a house quarantined with my family, sitting in the same room playing cards for 3 weeks straight, but I can't go out in the open air on my boat. That has got to be the most asinine thing I can possibly think of, right? So you're going to stick me in a room. Many people have smaller homes or whatever. They're sitting in a and that's just fine, but I can't go out in my boat with my family. Come on. I mean, you know, let's use our brains here. At some point, and by the way, we will go back to normal. I continue to hear people say, it'll never be the same. I'll tell you what, I'm going to a Bills game and I'm sitting next to people at some point. I'm going to a Sabres game and sitting next to people. I'm going to a restaurant and sitting next to people. They said the same thing after 9/11. Oh, we're not going to fly. We're not going to fly. A few months later, everybody was flying. That's just what we do. And by the way, if we don't go back to that, this economy is screwed. We are a service-oriented economy, and if we don't go back to that, we are screwed like you'll never see before.
Yeah, no, we'll go back. I think it'll get back to normal over time. I think there's going to be some apprehension about certain things, you know, the crowded bars and things like that. But again, a lot will be, you know, the reporting of it. A lot will be based on the media and how much. If we had the daily body count of car accidents, could you imagine? We would never drive, right? If they reported on car, another tragedy. Two young children killed on the highways. Sadly, it happens every single day, right? 55,000 fatalities last year on the highways. But to that economist in Sweden's point, we don't all change the speed limit to 5 miles an hour because that has other ramifications. When we look at COVID and the coronavirus, I know that it's a scary virus because we didn't understand it or know the treatments. There's still a lot that we don't know about it. But we can't let that fear drive all these decisions. When it comes to some of these reasons that you mentioned by, you know, why is a Governor Whitmer of Michigan arresting boaters and requiring them to come off the water, right? And the answer is because of, you know, what the governors would say and what the left would say is, well, it's because people in Florida, like on spring break, were all crowded on the beach, or people at the boat launch were abusing it. Well, then arrest those people, right? Right. The problem with liberals in general, especially these, you know, these two-bit, you know, tyrants that we have, like Governor Whitmer and Governor Cuomo, is that they always want to govern to the lowest common denominator, right? As if we're all eating paint off the wall, right? Well, this is how they think, right? We can't vote, as we said before, we don't know who to vote for. We can't possibly know how to feed ourselves or all the, when you look at Lita Bloomberg and what he did with sodas and things like that, when you give a liberal a little bit of power, suddenly they start to look at you and say, well, if there's a group of kids that are going to party on a sandbar, we got to close the beaches for everybody. We got to close the boat launches for everybody.
Here's where you know they're mentally ill though, Glenn. Here's where you really know they're mentally ill. They're letting out prisoners, right? These are people that have a very solid track record of not obeying the law. I mean, in really bad ways. I mean, we're letting out child molesters, right? Oh, here you go, Joe. I'm sure you'll be fine out there and do your social distancing, right? So it doesn't make any sense to me, right? So we're going to let these prisoners out, but yet if you are going to your office and we consider you a non-essential business, we're going to put you in jail. Child molester out, business owner in. Business owner with a long track record of doing all the right things and helping society and paying for record amount of taxes to pay for all the social garbages. You're going in, but child molester coming out. Makes a ton of sense to me. How could you be, I don't care, you're a Democrat, how could you not think that's not mentally ill?
The Michigan governor is now banned travel between residences. So if you want to go and visit your mother or visit your family or visit your friends, unless it's a required health need or something along those lines to feed a pet or something like that, it is now deemed illegal in Michigan. And let me say again, just like Governor Cuomo, he has granted himself the executive power to make laws and make budget. You can't do that. That's not part of the way the Constitution works. Yeah. Laws and rules are written in the legislature, not at the executive level. There's nothing in the Constitution with a little asterisk that says, whenever there's a crisis, we suspend the Constitution and the three branches of government and give all the power to the executive branch. We don't suspend the judiciary and give that power to the executive branch. Could you imagine if suddenly Governor Cuomo or Governor Whitmer or any of these governors were deciding who was guilty and who wasn't and presiding over the judiciary?
Well, we already know which way they'd go, right?
Of course not.
All us business owners would be in jail and all the child molesters would be out of the street.
Exactly. You know exactly what they would do. But we don't give executive branch legislative powers, okay? So these executive orders, Governor Whitmer is saying you can't travel between residences. Kiss my ass. We can do whatever we want. You don't have that kind of power, okay? You don't just automatically get to suspend rights every time there's a crisis. This is shocking to me how Americans have simply just rolled over and let rights just be absolutely trampled. And even my own kids are like, well, it's for the good of the society.
Right.
Well, Should we suspend, what is it, the Seventh Amendment or the Eighth Amendment, the cruel and unusual punishment? Because we had that conversation, right? We already went through this conversation about waterboarding terrorists who are not, by the way, U.S. citizens and are not afforded our constitutional rights. But pouring water on somebody's face was torture, even though it was potentially for the good of saving thousands of people's lives, right? So, that's the way that they think, and it just is what it is, sadly. And, when you look at liberals in general and the stuff that they do, that's why I always say liberalism is a mental disorder, because the logic that goes behind these decisions and the tyranny that as soon as they get power, they suddenly push down is unbelievable. Yep. Governor Whitmer has banned the sale of seeds in stores. Now, I have family.
So much for being self-reliant, huh?
I talked to my 91-year-old aunt, and she still has a garden that she plants in. And back in World War II, they encouraged people planting their own food. That way you could stay out of the stores.
They should be doing that now to get people off of welfare, right? Oh, you don't like the government cheese? Well, they don't get that anymore. They get cash. But
that's not how liberals think. Remember when we had the government shutdown under Trump? And everything just went right along. Nothing really skipped a beat. Like everything operated fine. Oh, we had people in, and the cooking staff was on furlough. No problem. He brought in all these burgers from McDonald's or everything.
McDonald's.
That's a make it happen kind of attitude, right? Yeah. That's the difference between Republicans, I think, and Democrats a lot of the times. Is we have a make it happen kind of attitude and a self reliant attitude. Now contrast that to the government shutdown under Obama. I remember the headline. The tomatoes were rotting on the vines of Michelle Mybelle's garden because there weren't workers to go out there and pick the tomatoes because Michelle couldn't get off of her ass and go out there and pick her own goddamn tomatoes. No, of course not. Why? Because it was somebody else's, it was beneath her, right? We had to have government do that for you. You can't do that on your own.
We'll see a huge fight in the next 2 weeks, and I can't wait to see how this unravels because Trump is going to want to reopen the economy. And the question is are the states going to follow? What states are going to follow? Andrew Cuomo already is saying, oh, he doesn't have the authority to open New York State. And Trump's saying, oh, yes, I do. So we'll see.
All Trump has to do if he wants things to be open is say, we cannot open this for 2 months, and that's my decision. And as soon as he does that, every Democrat governor in the country will say, it's not your decision. We're open tomorrow. It's amazing. Right. Literally quarantine. Governor Cuomo said, we have to quarantine. Everybody stay at home. Trump goes, that's a good idea. We should actually have a quarantine around this whole area. No, you can't do that.
You can't tell us what to do.
You can't have a quarantine. We're going to go all over the country if we want to, right? It's like the reverse psychology. It's just the exact opposite. So what Trump says, the Democrat governors will take the opposite approach, which is sad. Yep. I really hope I hope they all get together. I hope they discuss things this week, like today and tomorrow, and they start coming out with here's what we're hearing.
Well, Trump will come out. Trump will lay out a business plan. That's what he has been awesome at doing. I don't believe in how they played it all out. Trump was put in a corner. He had to play it out that way. But I'll tell you what. I've never seen anybody so prepared from a government agency standpoint, right? I mean, ventilators going up from, XYZ state all the way to New York within 24 hours. Ships that we were told would not be moved for weeks, there within a few days, right? Every single thing that would never ever, I'll tell you what, Andrew Cuomo running this country, all as he would have done is sit and cried and whined and said, oh, the states aren't helping me. The states aren't helping me. As he's doing in New York State, Trump, from an execution standpoint, I have never seen a government actually execute anything. I mean, when you look at what he did, now we've got too many ventilators. We've got too many hospitals, right? By the way, we were told at this point the healthcare system would be way overwhelmed. There would be no beds. None of that is happening. None of that is happening. In fact, most of these extra hospitals that they've all set up are sitting there vacant. They're all going to be dismantled. I guess we've got plenty of ventilators now. We'll be set for the next crisis, but all of that stuff. But when you look from an execution standpoint on what he did, including even the PPP program, I know there's some, folks that are saying, well, the banks are maybe tying this up and all that stuff. But you're talking about a massive stimulus plan that we're now actually seeing people get checks within a week or two. I mean, you think about that. That is ridiculous. I mean, how long? I guarantee, I'll bet everything, that Trump put together the PPP program and is getting people money faster than the Obama administration was able to put together a website for the healthcare plan that they did, right? So when you look at from an execution standpoint, again, if it was me, I think we should have handled it very similar to Sweden. There shouldn't have been this massive chaos. It should have been, we're going to close certain industries. We're going to ask you to social distance a little bit. They put Trump in a huge corner. But everything he's done, he's executed. There hasn't been anything that he hasn't come full circle on.
He's been spot on. He's been really right. The only thing I would criticize Trump for, and it is what it is. It's just his personality. I don't know how to even put it. He just brags too much. Like, we all know you're doing a good job. We see it. Yeah. Tell everybody how great you are.
He goes, you see the staff here? You see the staff? You're lucky you got us, or you wouldn't have a damn country.
but that's just his style, right? That's just right. Look, nobody's perfect. You take the good with the bad. That's a personality thing where it's always a, look at me kind of thing. But from an execution standpoint, you are absolutely spot on. He has really done a great job. I love the Rachel Maddow. It's not going to be there next week. There's no chance of next week. Like, what's he talking about? It rolls. Yeah. Not only does it roll next week, Monday afternoon or Monday morning, it's there, right?
And not only that, Glenn, after that, Cuomo calls him and says, can you actually man the thing too? No problem. Done.
Got that. Democrats have no chance in this election whatsoever. No. They got a vegetable, sadly, who's apparently has had some sort of a stroke or dementia. The only thing that they have a chance, I've been saying this the whole time, is that they run a very crafty ad spend. And I've seen some YouTube pre-roll commercials of Biden, and they look good. That's their plan.
Well, I think that, and they try to keep this crisis going as long as possible to make the economic damage even worse, right? I've also said, and I believe this, Andrew Cuomo may be welcoming this in a little bit because he may use this crisis as a reason why New York State finally declares bankruptcy and goes broke, right? And I don't know the logistics of all that, but, he's already he spent the entire time blaming everybody else for his deficiencies, right? Now he's saying we need more money. We need more money to run the state, right? He has bankrupted the state. Right? We all know the billion-dollar projects and all the money they've handed out. He's lied to us and said, record tax cuts. I don't know about you, Glenn. I've been in New York State for a long time. I've never gotten a tax cut. I haven't seen my property taxes go down. I haven't seen the Erie County taxes go down. I haven't seen my state taxes go down. I haven't seen one thing go down. I've only seen them go up, 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 right? So now he can use this crisis to blame all the problems on New York State on this crisis, as opposed to being honest with taxpayers and saying, had I not pissed away $1 billion with Tesla, I would have had plenty of money to buy ventilators. Had I not spent all that money in the vacant solar panel company in Syracuse, I would have had that money to be able to put together a new hospital and have emergency backups. But instead, it's been failure after failure after failure, and I don't have the resources to do that. That would have been the honest statement he should have done. But of course, he's not going to be. He will blame everything over the next 4 to 8 years on, if we got more money from the federal government, we wouldn't have had this financial difficulty. Watch and see the taxes coming to New York State, right? And it will be, the DMV fee will go double, right? Your dog permit fee will go triple. Your property taxes, we won't increase them, but we'll probably reassess all your property values, right? Yeah. Because they're probably worth more now.
How about those Lancaster folks? Before the crisis, they just got their assessments raised by like 40%. Their taxes.
Get ready. And he'll say, look, this is not my fault. Donald Trump didn't help us like he did all the Republican states.
Right? He's not going to get away with it because Trump's going to say,
He might get away with it in New York, though. He might get away with it in New York. Those people are that. Unfortunately, it's not us. Meaning we're preaching to the choir. But when you look at New York City, I think, Fox did a study. They were out on the streets the other day and they were interviewing people. And they said, if you could get the coronavirus 12 more months or Trump to lose, but for Trump to lose, you'd have to get the coronavirus for 12 months. They're like, oh, yeah, coronavirus for sure. Like, how stupid are you?
More people would die and it would be worse. But you get rid of Trump. Oh, we got to get rid of Trump at all costs.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Right.
Those are the folks that vote for Governor Cuomo. Let's not forget, though. And we talked about this a lot. During the good times, remember we kept saying there's going to be times not so good. During the good times, we had a $3 billion budget shortfall. On April 1st, everybody forgot about this. On April 1st, the New York State had a deadline of how they're going to patch that. A week before April 1st deadline, Governor Cuomo granted himself unlimited power to do whatever he wanted with the budget. Thus, problem goes away. We're not talking about, look at the markets and the economy has been good, really good, as far as, relative to the last bunch of years, right?
Yep.
And we were running $3.5 billion shortfall we had during the good times. I can't even imagine. You're looking at a potential $20 to $30 billion New York State shortfall.
Yeah. At least.
We don't open up like
that. We were probably going to be five in a good economy at the end of this whole thing.
$5 to $6 billion in good times. You can easily expect $20 to $30 billion in a shortfall.
Easy. How do you dig yourself out of that? And I've been saying for a while, I think Cuomo's using this as an excuse to be able to blame it on the coronavirus. His total incompetence between windmills and subway projects and all kinds of stuff that have been failure after failure after failure. Now is his opportunity to get himself out of that and say, not my fault. Sorry. We didn't get the help. Watch and see. Watch this. Mark my words. We'll mark this tape. We will hear that for the next 4 to 5 years that, I'm sorry your taxes are going up. I tried to do everything I could, but Donald didn't help us. He was helping his red states. That'll be the watch and see. Watch.
Well, that's fine. I could care less. I mean, to be honest with you, New York State, when you got people in New York City dumb enough to say, I'd rather have more people die than get rid of Trump.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of stupid that's the kind of stupid that you can't fix, right? That's the kind of stupid that's going to continue to vote for Cuomo no matter what happens. It doesn't make a difference, right? Californians in San Francisco are going to vote for the Democrat no matter what,
No matter how many people are defecating in the front lawn, it just doesn't seem to change anything.
It doesn't make a difference. I mean, people are losing their businesses. They've got homeless people camped out, crapping on their front step. Yep. They're shutting down, and they're still pulling the lever for Democrats. Like, you just can't fix some levels of stupid. I don't know. You can't.
And unfortunately, I'm sure in San Francisco, just like in New York, it's not the business owners, right? They're struggling. They're doing whatever they can. Those states will continue to get hammered even more, not only from a budget deficit of where we are now, but think about how many businesses are going to say, screw it. I was leaving anyway. So you know what? That's fine, Andrew. You want to keep this thing closed for another 2 to 3 months? I'm just going to figure out a way to, shuffle my family down to Florida or Texas. Texas, by the way, is doing exactly what a state should do, which is proactively coming up with a game plan right now to reopen sectors of the economy and layer it in, right? That should have been, we talked about this last week, a three-legged table, three legs of this thing, the mental health, the health of the flu, and the economic health. All three of them should be talked about every single day in Andrew's press conference. Instead, he's going, lilac. No, how about you spend a few minutes, you idiot, and talk about the economic plan to get us out of this mess, right?
Well, no, worse than that, Mike. But worse than that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but worse than that, it's every day it's opposite, right?
Yeah.
So someday he said, look, if schools were closed till June, effectively that means businesses have to stay closed. Of course. So now the message on Sunday is businesses are going to stay closed to June. Now on Monday, he comes out and says, we're going to start to impanel a commission and we're going to get together to talk about how we're going to reopen the economy. Well, that's good news. But tomorrow, it might be different again. It might be we're not opening until end of May or end of June.
No game plan.
That's the problem, right? And so now what we're hearing, now, look, for those that say, you guys are just greedy. You guys just want the economy to open so your business does better. We're still open. We're doing business. In fact, our business is booming. I don't know. Everyone's home right now calling our office going, can you review my homeowners and auto? Can you take a look at my life insurance? Can you review my investment plan? Can you take a look at my asset allocation? Am I in the right funds right here? Am I positioned properly there? Can I move my assets over? My guy just retired. And so we're good. What I worry about, though, is two groups of people. Number one, our business clients, right? Our business clients, what I'm hearing from them now, I know you're hearing the same thing. I know a lot of our advisors are hearing the same thing is, Glenn, if I don't get some clarity here, I'm going to just have to cut my losses, right? Yeah. Because I can't hire all my people back, and if I don't know that I'm going to be able to reopen in a month or two, if I have to just lay them back off again, because all it's going to do is compound my problems, right? That's 2 more months of rent, 2 more months of utilities, 2 more months of food costs, 2 more months of payroll, 2 more months and so on and so forth. So these folks need some clarity and they need an idea of here is the plan. And I think if you did that, I think that would help a lot. That's one group. The other group of folks that very few people are talking about, they're starting to talk about it now. Jim Acosta actually tweeted out about it, how shocked he was. We've been talking about it forever. And that's half the society that's living paycheck to paycheck. Those are the folks lining up by the thousands and thousands in food lines to get government food because they can't feed their families. I can't imagine the fear that I would have personally and the insecurity that I would have in not knowing where my next meal was coming from. That's a horrible feeling. And so now, fortunately, in my family, we hunt and we fish. So I know that
you won't be able to plant vegetables.
But no matter what, I know that I can put food on the table. My family, my kid, my daughter, my middle daughter has been able to do the same. She's harvested the deer. She's been able to clean it and gut it and all that good stuff. So, but for those that don't have that, I told my wife, as soon as I saw some of those lines, I'm like, make some donations to food banks because their donations are way down 70%, right? And the need is way up, right?
Yeah.
So that's a huge group of folks that, unfortunately, we've created a system where they do live paycheck to paycheck. Now, a lot of these folks also have Netflix and iPhones and Starbucks cards and things like that. So,
how many years have we done shows on the financial, education as opposed to teaching these kids French and Spanish? Yeah. Maybe we should teach them how to balance a checkbook. Maybe we should teach them about credit card debt. Maybe we should teach them about having a slush fund to get through these things, but we didn't do that, right?
We didn't do that. And so now you have a big group of people that are potentially in real danger. Right? And that's where you start to see the suicides, the domestic abuse, just the flat-out hunger. I mean, that's just a bad, sad feeling to begin with. There's other consequences, folks, as we've been saying since the get-go. Yes, we want to take the health side seriously. Absolutely. But to Mike, your point, there's other aspects of this that we have to take into consideration. And I think places like Sweden had a much more balanced approach as opposed to this knee-jerk reaction. But of course, a lot of that knee-jerk reaction was, again, in our minds because of the election. They don't want any sort of public debates. They don't want Trump rallies. They don't want any sort of in-person anything. If they could, their only chance is voter fraud and a high-level ad spend campaign where it's just ads versus ads. Even ads versus ads, I think that Trump wins. So I think the only way they can really possibly do it is if they really push hard for a. And I think they're going to try to tie this. So now we've got this extra stimulus for the. You mentioned the PPP program, the Paycheck Protection Program. They're out of money already. $350 billion.
Big time.
Right. So the Senate went back, Mitch McConnell last week before Easter went back and said, hey, we need to add another $250 billion to this. Let's just add this one little addendum to the bill. The Democrats shot it down because they want to tie all their little pork and goodies to it. Right. Like we gave $25 million to the Kennedy Center, yet they still pay off all their people. Right.
Right.
Craziness. But they want to prolong this, obviously, and it's all about doing the best to keep everybody. Well,
and the top line leadership there in the Democrat Party is really good, right? I mean, you're looking at Pelosi's got plenty of money to make it through. In fact, they'll use this as an opportunity. She'll get all her inside stock tips like she's always gotten, and she'll be fine. If she can buy down on some securities and get some inside information like she's already created hundreds of millions of dollars worth of net worth. Why would she not? This isn't going to hurt her. This is going to hurt the very people she professes to help, that middle to poor.
To your point, Mike, here's what the Democrats and people in Congress can do legally. Legally, they can still do this. They can invest, let's say, in, I don't know, how about the cruise lines that are down 80%, right?
Yep.
Nancy Pelosi can go out there and buy all.
Then bail them out.
Carnival Cruise Line, $9, $10 a share. And then propose a legislative package to give them billions of dollars to fix up so the stock price can go
on fire. Yep. Yep.
You watch. It's exactly what these clowns in Congress will do. They'll enrich
the people. Yep. They don't care. Let this thing go down. Bill Gates, by the way, he's a dirtbag too. I hate to say that. He is a dirtbag. He's, well, you know what? No, we're going to not be able to get together for a year. Okay, Bill. Well, not everybody has an extra $1 billion lying around where we can just take the year off and quarantine ourselves in a 50,000 square foot home with 8 pools, right? So most people have to go back to work at some point, right? But Bill doesn't care. Bill will make more money out of it. He shut this thing down for a year. You know the opportunities Bill's going to be able to buy with his billions of dollars. As far as I know, he hasn't given anything away to the government. He hasn't given any money to the government to say, here, I'll shore up some of these small businesses. He hasn't created a fund with his billions of dollars to help restaurants and not even his hometown, as far as I'm aware, right? But I bet you watch and see, old Billy will buy a bunch of stuff at a very cheap price when it's available. Warren Buffett, the same thing. He's not putting together a slush fund and saying, here is $5 billion. I'm going to hand it out to all the restaurants in the country. Nope. But I'll tell you what, when those restaurants are on sale for 20 cents on the dollar, guess what old Warren's going to do? He's going to come in and scoop them up, right? Very, very, what a generous man he is.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, like Mike Lindell from MyPillow, he's, you know, he's making masks and all kinds of American manufacturers are making face masks and ventilators.
The conservative ones.
Exactly. 3M, you know, President Trump announced a 50, you know, million new masks being manufactured a month, 150 some million masks being delivered and things like that. Yep. And yet I haven't heard it. Any sort of sourcing or purchasing of masks or medical equipment from Bill Gates?
No.
I haven't heard of any sort of donations or sourcing of equipment or materials from Warren Buffett, right? Why? By the way, how many ventilators has the Tesla plant in Buffalo been able to create? How many?
Come on.
I'm serious. How many ventilators has
Why when I'm laughing?
They talked about it, right? Remember?
Yeah. How about this, Glenn? There's another dirtbag, right? Elon Musk. He laid off all his folks. Those people are all laid off. Every one of them, he's laid off. He's got billions of dollars. He could very easily say, you know what? I'm going to let you stay at home, guys. Be safe. I'm going to pay you throughout this whole thing, right? You and I are paying people. Now, they're still working from home and doing stuff, but we wouldn't do that. But Elon Musk, dirtbag Elon Musk, who's gotten billions of dollars from the taxpayers, has said, here you go. We'll just stay at home, right? He could easily write those people a check out of his own pocket, and it wouldn't even change his bank account nearly, you know, one decimal point. He's a dirtbag. When are these people going to get this?
Remember the number of jobs they were supposed to have in April?
Oh, yeah.
It was 1,500 jobs, I think it was, where they had to pay back $42 million.
Forgot all about that, huh, Glenn? Now we're on to a crisis.
Oh, yeah. I think the deadline is like now, right? The deadline is
April. I think it was April.
Who's the one reporter we have in Buffalo? I can't, his name is
McKinley. Dave McKinley.
Thank you. He's the only one. Dave McKinley is the one reporter in Western New York. Who's actually willing to go out and ask those types of questions. So, Dave, can you do us a favor, please, and maybe see if you can't get a question in the Governor Cuomo or whatever local group is now running this clown show. When are we getting our $42 million back? Because they didn't hit their targets. I don't recall the target saying anything about unless there's a virus.
Oh, that'll be the next thing, though. Watch and see.
Well, they couldn't go to work. They were shut down. So
the intention was, Glenn, right before the deadline.
We said that 5-6 months ago. You, when they started talking about it, go, well, if they don't hit their job numbers, we'll get our $42 million back. We said at the time, they're not the job numbers, and you're not going to see a nickel of the $42 million back. And I will stick with that. They're not going to get the job numbers. I don't care what the excuse is. They weren't going to hit anyways, right?
Not even close.
A nickel back. Not even close. But for Governor Cuomo, by the way, let me just end with this, and we can wrap this up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up.
Governor Cuomo came out and he said, you know, we don't have the money. We got to have these ventilators. For years and years, we spent $1 billion on a Tesla factory alone. We spent billions of dollars in Buffalo on all sorts of medical stuff and all, you know, we spent another, I don't know, $500 million on a movie theater in Syracuse we sold for a buck. We spent millions and billions of dollars.
There's another solar plant out there. There's another solar plant that's vacant, totally vacant. Like $800 million we spent.
Billions and billions and probably somewhere in the range of $15, $20, $25 billion. That buys a lot of face masks, ventilators, and other medical equipment.
Yep.
So while Governor Cuomo can point the finger and say, we don't have what we need, the reason we don't have what we need is because he didn't buy what we needed, when we needed it. It's instead of going out and buying windmills and solar plants and movie theaters. Think about this.
From an execution standpoint, Dirtbag Andrew was whining and crying, oh, my God, we don't have enough supplies. Trump showed up and gave him the supplies he needed. And had he just used them the way you and I said weeks ago, that those supplies were there, you start using them because you don't know. He said, well, we're going to stockpile them for later. Okay, so you have people that are dying that need these things. You have them down the street, but you're not using them. And we said weeks ago, use every single one. You don't know if you're going to need them 3 weeks ago, but you do know you need them now, right? Well, guess who was right, Glenn? You and I. We were dead right. But from an execution standpoint, Donald Trump had it down. Okay, you're crying and whining, Andrew. I'm going to get you the supplies you need. I'm going to work with private businesses. They showed up and they made these supplies. And now we have way more than we need. Now we have too many hospital beds. That's a good problem. That's a good problem. We have too much stuff, all supplied, by the way, in record time through the Trump administration. Andrew Cuomo did nothing but sit and cry and whine, right?
Because they don't believe in free market capitalism. They don't believe that in the free market enterprise system that can get this stuff done. Remember, Andrew Cuomo was saying, we're not getting the supplies we need, until a reporter pointed out that, well, don't you have 3,000 ventilators in a warehouse in Jersey? Oh, well, those, we're saving those. And then it was about the face mask. President Trump came out and said, I don't know what to do with these face masks. We were sending them 10 to 12. In a normal times, it was 10 to 15,000 face masks. We've been sending them 300,000 face masks. What are they doing with these face masks? Are they going out the back door? 300,000 a week we've been sending them, right? He was right. Somebody asked Andrew that question. Are we the going out the back door? Yes. We are stockpiling them. Yeah, those are his words, right?
And can't make it up.
He just did a press conference this weekend where he's in front of a huge wall of medical equipment and face masks.
Right.
Now, if you're a nurse and you're reusing your face mask and you're trying as best you can, and you see Andy in a press conference with a wall of supplies, this is smacks of Puerto Rico where they found all of the supplies that were shipped down there in a warehouse that they were unable or unwilling to provide to the people that needed it the most.
Is he saving them for his friends? Andrew's saving them for his friends in case they get in trouble.
Andrew's the fact of the matter is he had what he needed. What he needed was delivered when he needed it. He didn't use it when he should have because he was stockpiling it for a supposed surge that never actually came anywhere near the expectations. Remember, they expected 75,000 hospitalizations last week. We didn't break 20,000. In fact, I think we topped out at about 15,000 to 16,000. Again, great news, but way off. And by the way, that 75,000 hospitalizations figure was including and factoring in the quarantining and the social distancing. So don't tell me, well, that's because we're all sitting in our houses. No, it's not. It's because they were way off, just like these climate models the guys are, right? We're going to be boiling and have sea levels that are going to New York City will be underwater right now. Well, Barack Obama's buying, you know, water.
Ooh, is that house for sale? Let me let you in a little secret. This house is going to be underwater in 5 to 10 years. So what do you want for it? That's funny. All right. On behalf of Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, you need our help, by the way. Go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And like us on YouTube, by the way. We need more conservative talk. We need the thumbs up button. So do us a favor and check out all our additional Zoom meetings we're doing now, all kinds of virtual meetings, virtual seminars. So go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, and check it all out. And on behalf of Mike Lomas, we'll see you next week right here on the podcast. Don't forget our radio shows, by the way, all Saturday, 1 to 3 down in South Florida and the Western New York area, Buffalo, Rochester. See you next week.